Welcome to The Lay Disciple, a ministry of Truth Seekers Fellowship. Tom Murray continues our series of lessons on this important question: what kind of Messiah did the Old Testament reveal? If you've been listening daily, I hope this series is helping you understand the importance of the Old Testament and how it pointed clearly to the Messiah. If today's your first day, stay with us, because you'll be blessed.
Well, welcome back to our study in what kind of Messiah did the Old Testament reveal that men should have been looking for. And we're doing this step by step through the Old Testament. And in our last broadcast, we were in Genesis 49:10, where we found that Jacob, before he died, made a prophecy, and even though he had 12 sons, one of those sons was named Judah. And he said that the scepter would not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes whose right it is, and unto him shall the obedience of the peoples be. Now, by identifying Judah and Judah's right to rule, we find from Jacob and in this Genesis 49:10 that Judah's identity and her right to rule would not be lost and could not be lost until one came who had the full rights to the scepter, that is, full rights to rule over not only Israel, but to rule over all the nations. Now, I've told you in prior broadcasts that there was a group of Hebrew scholars who translated the entire Old Testament from the original Hebrew into the Greek language in about the year 250 before Christ. That translation is known as the Septuagint, and when you go to that translation, the way it translates this verse in 49:10 of Genesis, it reads this way, and it is reading just exactly the way I have just read it to you from the NIV translation. But there also is a Syriac translation, and it quotes it the same way. Now, the reading of this verse, the way that I have read it to you, is even further supported by a comparison with a passage in the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 21, verses 25 to 27. And you, O slain wicked one, the prince of Israel, whose day has come in the time of the punishment of the end, thus says the Lord Jehovah, remove the turban and take off the crown, and this will be no more the same. Exalt that which is low, and abase that which is high. A ruin, a ruin, a ruin I shall make it. This also will be no more until he comes whose right it is, and I shall give it to him. This Ezekiel 21:25-27 passage is primarily concerned with the second coming of the Messiah. In verse 25, we have a reference to the Antichrist, the last Gentile ruler that will ever rule over Israel, still yet future. In verse 26, the turban, or the mitre that is on the head, is referring to the mitre of the high priest, and the crown is the royal crown. So just as Genesis 49:10 uses the royal scepter to represent the authority to rule, Ezekiel uses the royal crown to represent the same thing, or the right to rule. Then the exact same phrase is used in Ezekiel when it says, until he comes whose right it is. So you should note that in Ezekiel's reference to the priestly mitre, he is indicating that Messiah will be a priest as well as a king, something that we're going to discuss a little bit later when we get to Psalms, and particularly Psalms 110. So both the priesthood and the kingship aspect are to be removed from Israel at some point until Messiah comes the second time, when both the priesthood and kingship will then be given to him at his second coming. But going back to our particular passage in Genesis 49:10, which is related to the Messiah's first coming, not his second coming, you can see that this verse actually makes 3 points. Messiah has previously been declared in Genesis 3:15 and also in the Genesis 22 passage that he would be a man and that he would be descended from Abraham, therefore he would be a Jew. But his descent is now limited to the fact that the Messiah must be a descendant of only one of the 12 sons of Jacob, and that is, he must come from the tribe of Judah. Now, a second point that this Genesis 49:10 passage make is that Messiah is going to be a king. The scepter and the ruler's staff indicate royalty, and it also indicates his authority as king. And the third point in this passage, in 49:10 of Genesis, is that the Messiah will have to come before the tribe of Judah loses its identity. Now, this establishes a very clear time period for this prophecy. The records by which the tribal identities were maintained in Israel, the 12 tribes, were kept in the Jewish temple. Now, all of those records were lost when the temple was destroyed by the Romans under Titus in the year 70 AD. Within a few generations after the Romans destroyed Jerusalem and the temple, and all of those genealogical records were destroyed, with the exception of the tribe of Levi, all generations of Israel lost their identity. So immediately after the 70 AD destruction of the temple and the records, the rabbis passed laws which would preserve the identity of the priestly tribe of Levi. But Jews from the other 11 tribes quickly lost their identity. Now, since the tribe of Judah was included in the 11 tribes that lost its identity and its preeminence in the year 70 AD, we can clearly understand that Messiah must come before 70 AD. Excuse me. What this passage is telling us is that since the scepter and the right to rule cannot pass from the tribe of Judah from the days of Jacob until the Messiah comes, and those records were destroyed in 70 AD, the records of Judah, then the Messiah must have come before 70 AD. So the point here is that the Messiah could not have come after 70 AD because of the prophecy of Jacob in the Genesis 49:10 passage. Now, this particular passage in Genesis 49:10 has been consistently regarded by the rabbis down through Old Testament time as being a messianic reference or a messianic verse. Now, targums in Jewish rabbinic studies are basically interpretations or commentaries on Scripture, and they are called the Targum Evangelos, which is an Aramaic translation of the Old Testament and particularly of this passage. And it translates this passage in 49:10 as the transmission of dominion shall not cease from the house of Judah, nor the scribe from his children's children, forever until the Messiah comes, to whom the kingdom belongs and whom nations shall obey. So the Targum Evangelos that is written by Jews down through the centuries interpreted this passage in Genesis 49:10 to clearly apply to the Messiah, that Judah could not lose her right or her identity until Messiah came. Now the rabbis also interpreted this verse as being the source for one of the rabbinic names for the Messiah, that is the name Shiloh. One passage says the Messiah shall be called Shiloh, and that is to indicate that he was born of a woman and would therefore not be a divine being. Now, the amniotic sac of a woman in which a fetus is formed in her womb is called the Shilah, S-H-I-L-Y-A-H in Hebrew. Now, this is similar to the Hebrew word Shiloh, the Hebrew word for Shiloh. Now, this is one of the rabbinic arguments against the divinity of the Messiah. By calling him Shiloh, this was meant to be an indication that he was born from Shiliah, and therefore, in their thinking, the Messiah would be merely human. One of the most famous rabbis, a man named Rashi, said, "Until King Messiah will come, whose will be the kingdom? Unto him," that is meaning the Messiah, "shall the nations seek." Now, what we learn from the Genesis 49 passage is that all of and subsequent rabbinic history is that the rabbis interpreted this prophetic utterance from Jacob to refer to the Messiah. And they gave him that name Shiloh because it came from the root word for the amniotic sac in which a fetus was born. And therefore, they said that the Messiah would be purely human, that he would not be divine or deity. And that is confirmed now down through rabbinic writings, down through the centuries. So it's very clear that the consistent rabbinic view of Genesis chapter 49:10 was that this passage related to the Messiah. So the seed of the woman and the seed of Abraham limited him to the tribe of Judah, and Messiah was to be a king, and Messiah had to come before 70 AD when the temple was destroyed. Well, I'm out of time, so I'll see you in our next broadcast.
Thank you, Tom, and thank you, friend, for listening. I'd like to encourage you to visit our brand new website at www.milktomeat.org. While there, you can sign up for our free newsletter, hear the radio programs, and correspond with us through email. Again, the address is www.milktomeat.org. If you have any questions or want to order a tape of the program, call us at Truth Seekers Fellowship. The number is 901-685-3385. Or outside, call toll-free 1-866-685-3385. We'll see you tomorrow right here for The Lay Disciple.